This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
Cut
on every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good, happy, wonderful Philly is out of the postseason Monday to you. Yes, yes. And for some reason, Santiago is strangely furious about the world of sports on this Monday morning. It is June the 21st, 2021, fresh on the heels of another Father's Day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Chris Canty, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. It's just amazing to me to hear the joy in your voice celebrating the misery of Philly sports fans. It really is incredible.
You know, I couldn't have been more pleased. And every time they lose, I will consider it to be the curse of Doug Peterson. Every time they lose everything, anything, that's what I will consider it to be after what he did in Week 17.
So you want to blame Doug Peterson? You don't want to blame Ben Simmons?
No, I want to blame Ben Simmons, I want to blame Doc Rivers, but it's the curse of Doug Peterson.
It's happening, okay.
Because of what Doug Peterson did or didn't do in Week 17.
So it's Doug Peterson's fault that Ben Simmons can't shoot?
Yeah. I say it's the curse. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode. Good morning, Rick. Gotcha. How are you?
Good morning, David. Yeah, let's pass the buck today. That's what we'll do. Let's blame Doug Peterson when we all realize who's at fault for the Philly Super Bowl. That's one Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, stop it.
You know it. I know it. Canty knows it. The sports gods know it. Andrew Gunling knows it. And that's
Andrew
what makes
Gunling.
You a bad guy.
I would love to hear Andrew Gunling right now. Would absolutely.
Can we text him? He can't have slept. Can we get him on the show today? I mean, he's the biggest Philly fan we know.
God hates me. I would think that if we called and said to Gunling, would you like to come on the show? He would say, I'm not going on.
I will fight you after this show.
No, he'll come on.
No, I don't think you would.
No, I think here's what I'll say about Gunling. I think because I talked to him the other day when I did the K show. I was just asking him some questions about the Sixers. You bring him on, introduce him, Andrew Gunling, producer of the Michael K show. Ask him one question, and I think you just let him go.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I think you kind of tee him up like you tee up Omar, and you just let Andrew Gunling go off on the Philadelphia.
Don't scream at me on the show.
Defend him.
It's only right.
I love that one. Don't you scream at me.
It's not fair.
There will never be a cleaner path to an NBA championship than any of these teams who got bounced in this past round.
You ruin everything
this season. It's as wide open as it's ever been, ever. Like as long as I've been watching any sport, I've never seen it more wide open. You have no idea which one of these four teams is going to win the whole thing. And if you're Philly or you're Brooklyn, you got to be kicking yourself this morning. You're both out of the postseason.
Well, especially if you're Brooklyn, you understand it because you had the injuries. I mean, out of the big three, you had 1.5 stars. I mean, with Philly, you got 3 all-star caliber players, all healthy. Like, you have zero excuses as to why you couldn't get out of the East. You had home court advantage, game 7 in your building, and you can't figure out a way to get it done against an upstart Atlanta Hawks team? Like, to me, that is by far worse than the situation that the Nets found themselves in. By far.
Well, you got one that's mentally not healthy. Ben Simmons got something going on. It's not even that he can't shoot. It's his unwillingness to shoot.
He won't. He passed up on a dunk.
Wide open dunk. Yeah. No, I know. We were talking about before the show. You're not wrong. I mean, Doc Rivers has lost 4 straight game 7s. Yeah, we got to get Gunling on. We have to. This is the day to do it.
No, because you're going to somehow blame me. Like,
why would I blame you?
Because he's going to come on, and I'll ask a question. You'll be like, oh, look at Rothenberg leading you there. Like, the only way that I agree to having Gunling on is if you guys also attack him.
Well, I'm not going to attack him. I'll let you ask the questions. I'm interested to hear what he says. I like when Gunling goes crazy. I mean, you got a free pass from me today. I'm only nice to you for the next 2 hours and 56 minutes.
You're dead to me, by the way. Dead to me.
Why am I dead to you?
How dare you?
You got us a Big Islanders win. You good luck, baby.
How, First of all, how did I have any impact in the Islanders winning? Any?
That avatar gets changed. All of a sudden, you're rooting for the Islanders.
If that is still up at 8 o'clock this morning, I'm going to call out on social media for anyone to make any kind of avatar, and I will change my profile pic to that about you if that is still up. That is disrespectful. That is disgusting. That is without my consent. And how dare you do something like that?
You're so weak, too, because the ultimatum was if that's not changed by 5 a.m. on Monday, there will be retaliation.
Oh, there, I'm sitting here telling you right now.
No, now it's 8. That's fine.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you till 8 o'clock. If that is up at 8 o'clock when we sign off, I'm going to get my people to go after you, and you will not like what happens. I'm leaving it out there with that. Oh, there will be retaliations. Oh, there will be.
Dave, if it's any consolation, you look great in the photo.
Well, thank you.
It's a great picture of you.
No, thank you very much. Yeah. Well, he did pick a nice photo. Unlike the one that he has when he does anything on ESPN, where it looks like he's emaciated.
I've spent more time in that whatever you want to call it, where we take our professional photos.
We've had you 78 in that closet in the back of the office.
78 photo shoots, and yet they use the same picture. They don't even use the picture that they took. It's a picture that the Islanders took. It's an embarrassment.
And it's a horrendous. I mean, it couldn't be worse. If we lined up 20 pictures and said, pick the one that you just do not want to go on the air and be your profile picture, which would be the one? The one they use is the one. Don't ever use that. And that's the one they use.
Every single time.
Good.
I'm going to
call up to Bristol and say, whatever you ever do, never take that photo out of the rotation. Make sure that is always.
You don't have that kind of pull.
Make sure, please. I know the people up there. Make sure you always use that one. Always. It's terrific. It looks great. If you want a sickly goalie who looks like he's doing his best Jesus Christ impression, use that one. Really. It looks like you have Lyme disease. You look, honestly, I've never seen you look so unattractive. It's a terrible picture. You're gaunt. You look sickly. Your hair looks awful.
Oh, my gosh.
Your face is caving in.
The slick back look, Dave? Is that the one you're talking about? The slick back?
No, that's like the super long one with the weird looking kind of like beard / goatee.
Oh, yeah. You look really grimy in that picture.
Yeah.
Really grimy.
Your cheeks sunken in.
Yeah.
The good part about that season was I actually, during the Christmas break, I did the nativity scene.
You went to the hospitals for the kids. The sick kids. Guess who's here, Bobby? Who, Dad, I can't. Where are you? I can't even see you. Who's here? Jesus is here, Bobby. Jesus is here. Is this it, Dad? No, he's really here. Come on in.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
See, now you're going to attack me. I try to be nice to you, just so everyone knows. I try to be nice to you.
How are you trying to be
show
nice?
Off. I'm not changing it. I don't care what you do. It's not being changed.
That's up to you. What you do is up to you. I'm just telling you that if you leave it up and the show ends at 8, it's on. That's all I'm saying. It's not an idle threat. It's a promise. It's on.
I think you just bring it then. Okay. I can't change it. What kind of guy would I be? You wouldn't change it.
I wouldn't do it. That's the difference.
You would do it.
Well, therein lies the difference.
You're not as creative as me.
And if you haven't seen, if you're listening right now saying what exactly has happened, you got to look at Rick's Twitter profile picture. He changed it to some man or woman, I don't know, standing up in an Islanders jersey, hands up, excited, yes, all around it. And he has Photoshopped my picture in there. It is a disgrace what you've done.
Are we sure that's Photoshopped? I'm not convinced that's Photoshopped.
Yeah. And not only that, but whoever your lackey is, whoever your intern happens to be, is terrible. I mean, this is the best that they could do. The top of my head is chopped off here.
Well, no, it's a lack of left-handed scissors. We got to work on that.
Who did it?
I'm not telling you.
Who did it?
As far as you know, I did it.
No, I know that. Please, you?
What do you mean, me?
You didn't know that BCC was a function on email a month ago.
Yeah, but now I do. Now I do. Now you do.
But there is no... Listen, you have your people. It's fine. Good for you. I got my people, too. And at 8 o'clock, they get into production. They'll be working like they're in a factory if that stays up.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be... Listen, if it's even close to what you did with that stupid spider tack little thing you filmed, I'm not worried about it.
Oh, yeah? Did you see, by the way, that went viral we call
it? Because it made people sick.
Yeah, whatever.
Virus.
That's great. Look, they could vomit all over themselves if what happens is happening. Do you know how many people witnessed that on TikTok? Take a guess how many people.
Oh, it's on TikTok now, and all of a sudden you're on TikTok?
Look, I can't help it. I have a full team. I have a team
TJ.
That runs things.
I have Nico.
Go ahead. Take a guess. How many people? Everybody, we'll go around. We'll go around this morning. How many people on TikTok do you think witnessed that video?
Rick, more. We'll start with Use you. It. That's right.
Rick, how many?
5,500.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going to go 7,000.
Okay. RJ?
See, Dave tipped me off because he was very proud Saturday morning. We are way under. Way under.
Go ahead. RJ, how many think?
Half a million.
All right. Raymond?
See, I could just tell by the way you're saying these things that it's way under. So I will. I'll say 700,000.
I'm embarrassed by all your guesses. At last check, and I'm not on TikTok, but at last I was told, 1.4 million views on TikTok.
Really work with that spider tech. Really become familiar.
Yeah, it was the police. Million. The police viewed it that many times. So I wondered if they had to arrest you.
Okay.
Just to make sure he's not lurking?
Yeah, exactly right.
One point. You know, I can't even get. Look what I do for you. Look what I draw.
What you do? What you do for
look,
me?
Look what I do for you.
I do a lot of this for yourself. It feels like.
Well, of course, for me too. But look what I do for us as a show. I'm putting eyes on our show. 1.4 million views. Please, you
and
should
welcome
be
aboard.
Thanking me.
You had to have hired robots or something to be viewing this thing. I don't. There's no chance. 1.4 million people.
I believe it was 50,000 likes. 50,000 likes. Last check. 50,000.
Like that kind of party.
Oh, we love that kind of party.
Canty, we got to do something about this. I mean, this guy is...
Yeah, he's turning into a monster.
It's too much.
I don't know how we correct this, though, Rico. This is just going to continue to spiral out of control. He's got his own production team.
I am
TJ. On top
TJ.
Of the Saturday show, he's got his own podcast show where people can watch him. He's got a live studio audience. I don't know where it stops. I'm telling you, man, we're just the other two members of Destiny's Child. Dave Rothenberg is going to go full Beyonce in a few months. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, Rico.
Hey, you're a loser.
Think about when football season starts. I mean, it's just going to be a completely different animal.
All the guy did was buy Spider Tech, and he's got 1.4. Maybe we're doing something wrong, Canty.
That's right.
I'm the talent.
You think we're overthinking it?
Yeah. 1.4 million.
He spent 7 minutes reading.
5,500. 5,500.
He spent 7 minutes reading Jeff Passan's Twitter account, and he called it a podcast. I gotta reassess.
Mind-boggling.
I think there's tremendous jealousy. I tell you what, I hope to God I've never wanted a team to win a game more than I do Tampa Bay tonight. Unless that profile pick is changed, you better hope to God the Islanders win. Because if they don't, oh. We'll be hearing, what's the guy's name? Mishkin? Oh, we'll be leading the
Take
show
it.
With Mishkin tomorrow.
No, it's not going to be changed. I refuse to change it now.
Okay.
Refuse.
All right. So then it's on.
Bring it.
Okay.
Start treating it. Start rolling. That's fine. Me and Canty will find a way. We'll start our own club, our own band, and our own TikTok.
That's fine.
How's that?
Good. Do it. 1.4 million. Keep that in mind. 1.4 million people have viewed the Spider Tech TikTok. 1.4, baby.
Egomaniac is what you are.
Not an egomaniac.
That's what you are.
Yep.
You're an egomaniac right now. That's what you are.
I wasn't going to bring it up. You brought it up. You made fun of me. You're after me.
You knew exactly
some reason,
how many people viewed it.
You should be in a good mood. You should be in a great mood. I mean, the Nets lost. The 76ers, which should make anyone happy, were awful and lost. Your Islanders win a great game with a phenomenal finish at the end there. You have the biggest game you've had in God knows how long in this franchise's glorified history, and you're acting like this morning?
You pushed me to this point.
What did I do?
I was going to be nice. I gave you 2 hours and 56 minutes of me being nice.
Mm. All right.
Then you threw it all away.
Threw it all away.
You threw it all away, right down the toilet.
I don't understand how you changing your profile pic to that is your way of extending an olive branch and being nice.
Well, I wasn't trying to extend an olive branch. I was just saying that I was giving you today because you helped out with the win. Doesn't it feel nice to root for a winner now? Should feel good.
I don't root for a winner. Well, I got the Mets, which is nice. All right, you know what? It's on. I'm going to get my people and I'm going to get them on it very quickly.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
1.4 million views on TikTok. I was wrong, by the way. It's 65,000 likes up to the moment.
Wow.
65,000 likes.
I'm going to be the better
man. So you got 65,000 likes,
yes.
But 1 million views?
Over 1 million views, yes.
Oof. Look at you.
Approaching 1.5 million views on the TikTok.
That's impressive, right, Dave. Very impressive.
It's amazing. You do one TikTok about spider tack, it gets 1.6 million views. You do, how many of your little videos did you do when we launched the whole, you know, video campaign for the show?
Oh, I did many.
Yeah, that you half-assed the entire way through it.
That like half-assed.
2,000 views.
Half-assed.
Now all of a sudden you're bringing your best material to your little podcast situation.
I have a team of people that are working to get this functional. All right, we'll get there later. We'll go after each other. I got photos that will be in my profile picture at 8:01 this morning. Fine. We'll leave it at that. We'll get back to
it. I got my people
later.
Up and working already. Your people, okay. BJ and TJ and Nico, they're all sleeping. My guys are up.
Okay. My guys never sleep. I'm team no sleep.
Team I have no TJ. I have Nico.
Team no sleep. Nobody sleeps.
Although I did get a nice email from Andy from Merrick yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
And what did he have to say?
No, just chopping it up both the Islanders. Showing me what jersey he was going to wear to the game. Nice.
Oh, so now you and Andy are okay?
Yeah, I think Andy's now officially kind of jumping more towards... I think he's more my friend now than your friend, but that's okay. We'll talk about that later.
That's fine. We'll get to all of it later. We got to get to the Nets. I don't know if you guys feel like this. What an opportunity squandered. And I know that the Bucks are a good team. Your home, Game 7, had so many chances to win that game. You have to be disappointed if you're a Nets fan this morning.
How could you not be? I mean, you said it. Especially in the NBA. I mean, how often is the NBA this wide open to win a championship? If ever. I mean, is it? You tell me, like, who are you point to right now and say this team's going to win the NBA Finals?
I got to tell you, and I mean this honestly, I don't ever remember the NBA postseason being this wide open, ever. Ever. Anything close to this. This is by far the most, in my opinion.
Okay, and the one thing that we said, and I think it bothered all of us, because, you know, I think, you know, as a show, we like when there's meaning to the regular season, was, you know, why... You know, why not try to get the number one seed? Like, why put yourself in a position where you have to go through Milwaukee in the second round as opposed to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, why all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Like, you made your road harder than it needed to be. And there was injuries and everything else concerned. But you're like, okay, once you get through Milwaukee, you know, now it's going to be, we have to try to get through Philly. And Philly's got home court. Well, you didn't have to do that because Atlanta just knocked Philly off. Right? Lakers knocked off. Like, this was a perfect opportunity to get through the East and end up in the, you know, NBA Finals. In a series that, I mean, it could be the Suns. Would you like your chances again? Either one of those teams, your chances against.
I would like my chances against anybody if I was the Nets right now. Anybody.
So it was a missed opportunity. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things that went into it. I mean, Harden being on one leg, I mean, that's a humongous issue. Joe Harris can't make a shot. I mean, there's a bunch of things that went into it. Kyrie not playing, but, I mean, this team was built to win a championship. And... You know, they've lost the Game 7 at home in the second round. I mean, if you're a Nets fan, yeah, you don't want to hear any of the excuses / reasons why you're not. But, you know, you got the offseason to try to fix some stuff and work on it and move forward.
Well, Rico, you mentioned how the team was built. I think that when you look at it, the reality is that they didn't have a lot of depth that you could rely on in the postseason. Like the guys that we saw filling in the regular season, that's great. When teams aren't necessarily paying that much attention, when the sense of urgency isn't ratcheted up. But when it comes to guys that can be difference makers, I mean, the Nets are, you know, they're leaving a little something to be desired. The fact that you had nobody on your bench contribute any points in a Game 7, I mean, that's going to be tough to be able to overcome. Not that the Bucks were much better, because I think their bench only had a total of 9 points, but the reality is that you don't have enough guys that you feel like can play meaningful minutes to be able to spell your superstars. And when I say superstars, I'm talking about Kevin Durant, because, I mean, he played 53 minutes, and that's on top of what you asked him to do in Game 6 and Game 5. So it just felt like once we got to the overtime, KD was out of gas, and there really wasn't anything that Steve Nash could dial up that he felt confident in order to be able to get some points on the scoreboard and give themselves a better opportunity to take control of that game. But, I mean, when you have a top-heavy roster like the Brooklyn Nets have with the big three, when you got injuries to two of those guys, it's going to be hard to win this time of year. And I think that's just the reality of what happened to the Nets. There are excuses, and then there are reasons. I feel like the injuries were the reason why the Nets weren't able to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals.
The thing that would frustrate me to no end if I was a fan of the Nets is you never know. Like, you in sports, you never know when you're going to have an opportunity. You never know what next year is going to bring. You don't know if these guys are going to stay long-term together. You never know what injuries happen, as we saw this year. And you had an opportunity to win a championship. And if you would have won that game on Saturday night, I think you would have been the prohibitive favorite to win the title. And now you're done in the second round. I mean, it goes so quickly. And if you told me next year they'll be all healthy, I think they're the absolute favorite. But you don't know what other teams are. You don't know what happens with the Lakers. You don't know the health of LeBron James. If Anthony Davis is healthy, what they do out there. You just don't know. And that's what would upset me so much. You had a golden opportunity, and you let it slip away, and now you're done in the second round.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, here's the thing, though. We talked about it the entire season. Was, you know, this would be the team that we all felt like would, at the very least, be in the NBA Finals if they could stay healthy. The reason why we said that was because Kyrie hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one that surprised you the most was, you know, James Harden and his, you know, dealing with his hamstring. So, I mean, that was
but
a factor.
Should it surprise us the way that his preseason and early regular season went down in Houston? It surprise us?
No, it shouldn't. But, I mean, here's the other thing, too, is you had, you know, a rookie head coach. And one of the things this team, I mean, we pointed to all season long was the depth of this team. And I get it's, you know, it's the moment's big and you don't necessarily trust guys, but you're not asking guys to go out there and play extended minutes. It's like, just find a way. Like James Harden, and I would like to know if it was we kept him out for all those minutes because we wanted to make sure his hamstring didn't seize up or whatever it was, but like he just quit on his bench completely. Like Steve Nash quit on his bench. Like that was it. I mean, Chris, you mentioned it. Not only did the bench not score any points, they didn't take a shot.
Yep.
I mean, there was no field goal attempts from their bench.
Nothing.
And James Harden, and listen, and James Harden, as good as he is, and he's great when he's right, because he could not move, the Brooklyn Nets offense became a half-court offense, and that was it. They didn't get out and run. There were no points in transition. There were plenty of times, especially in that game on Saturday, where it was James Harden dribbling around. It was, you know, high screen, can't get through that, high screen, can't get through that, and then all of a sudden just throw the ball to Kevin Durant with 2 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah, and you go at it. Over, but that's over and over and over. And the one that you have to be just horrified by was Joe Harris. Joe Harris was a non-factor. Because we talk about the bench depth and guys that you expected, you know, the Claxons or wherever it was going to be. The one guy that you thought, hey, if you give him an open shot, he's going to make him, is Joe Harris. And he was just bad down the stretch in the series.
He's the guy that you're supposed to be relying on to space the floor.
That's right.
And I mean, Joe Harris was a self-check after the first two games of this series. Like, it's been terrible. He's been awful shooting from the field. It's almost as if he's been a liability while he's been out there on the court. And the fact that Steve Nash wasn't able to make an adjustment, wasn't able to have a feel for where he was at and do something to get him going or get somebody else in there that can be productive, I think that's one of the coaching decisions that people will look back this offseason and be critical of him of. The other one that I still scratch my head about with Steve Nash is, for the life of me, I can't understand in overtime, the final possession, why you don't get a timeout. I don't understand why you don't get a timeout and get a better play rather than to get out the way KD play. Or if for no other reason, get a timeout so you can rest your star for a little bit so he can have some more juice going into that final possession. Either way you look at it, I don't understand why he allowed that play, that sequence to go down the way that it did.
He had no leg. I mean, he was out of gas in OT. I mean, he was 0-6 in OT. Like, even that shot before, and that was a tough shot. I mean, he settled for a tough shot.
Yep.
But, I mean, that shot was short. I mean, that guy did everything, and he's a properly fitting sneaker away. If he didn't wear his sneakers a size too big because he likes them because they're more comfortable,
Oh, they win that game with one
but
second
even that,
left.
But even that shot at the end, I mean, that was going to tie the game up. His toe was on the line.
Again.
Oh, that would have been the game winner, yeah.
No, it would have tied it up. His toe was on the line. It would have sent it to double overtime.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought you were talking about the one in regulation. That wouldn't even have won it. But that Joe Harris three, The wide open look, right? Lopez comes across, blocks the Durant shot. Brown, because Brown was all over the place. I mean, he had a great game. He's full of energy, but he gets the ball back. Joe Harris, game's tied at 111. Wide open three. He makes that because, I mean, Milwaukee was struggling to score points in that OT too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different ball game. Joe Harris makes that shot and they go up three.
Yep. Completely agree. Speaking of Joe Harris and how bad he was in games 3 through 7, here he is kind of blaming himself a little bit.
You know, obviously I'm disappointed. I wish that, you know, I played better. I think, you know, there's a lot of things where, you know, you can go back, be a tough critic on yourself, judgmental, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you got to bring more to the table than just one thing. You know, overall, yeah, I wish I would have shot more efficiently, you know, help alleviate some of the pressure that other guys were facing. But, you know, this is sort of the situation that we're in. And frankly, had I played better, you know, we might be in a little bit of a different spot.
Not might. Yeah, I don't think it's might.
It would be. And I don't think the phrase more efficiently would be something I would use. He was just flat out bad.
Dave, let me ask you a question. Just trying to make a guess. What do you think that Joe Harris shot this season from three?
1.4 million views on TikTok.
Okay,
oh, wait, so, what was the question?
Yeah, we know it's 1.4.
Wow.
Okay. It'll be 2 million before you know it.
What was the question?
Joe Harris. Sorry?
Yeah.
From three this season.
You're looking for percentage?
Yeah, give me a percentage. I know you
I'm
love
gonna
percentage.
I'm going to say he shot 45% from three.
Yeah, almost 48%.
Yeah.
And he was almost 50% at home.
And in the series?
But he was, I mean, he couldn't have been higher than 30-something percent. That's a huge drop-off. Humongous drop-off.
Huge. And he had some wide-open looks.
He had to start the overtime, he had a wide-open look that he missed.
Yep.
I'm telling you, that shot would have been the overtime if he makes that three. It would have been.
Yeah, I don't think Milwaukee rebounds from that. Because those teams had zero left in the tank. And if you fall behind three with the crowd doing what it's doing, I think you're probably done. But Milwaukee moves on. They face Atlanta. Adam Silver must be thrilled with the matchup they have in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
800-919-3776. Paul in Queens. Good morning, Paul. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you beautifully, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. As far as the Nets are concerned, I always felt that the Bucks were kind of overrated. I mean, KD almost beat them by himself. And as far as Kyrie being injury prone, Kyrie was not injury prone. He was healthy. He just stepped on somebody's foot or somebody stepped on his ankle, and that's just an injury mishap. That has nothing to do with being injury prone. That has if Joe Harris plays just a little bit better, they beat the Bucks, him and KD together. Okay, so that's far as
Paul,
that's
Paul, far Paul, do me a favor. What is the definition of injury prone? It's prone to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
Which Kyrie has throughout the course, especially over the last couple of years, has been prone to injuries.
It
was a freak injury, but he's been prone to be injured. So it doesn't surprise me. I don't care what the injury is. It doesn't surprise me that he was hurt.
But that has nothing to do with this series.
Of course it does. Well, Paul, if Kyrie Irving doesn't twist his ankle and is healthy, you think, Paul, if Kyrie Irving is healthy and doesn't twist his ankle, you don't think Brooklyn wins that series? Did Paul fell off the face of the earth? What do you mean it has nothing to do with the series? It has everything to do with the series.
When he was healthy, the first two games weren't competitive. The first two games in the series were not competitive.
No.
In game two, they were down by 50 points.
They lost by 40 points in game two.
If he doesn't get hurt, you don't need James Harden back because you win the series with KD and Kyrie. And you can rest James Harden until you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Agreed.
I heard a lot of excuses there from Paul, by the way. A lot of excuses.
Well, I mean, of course, listen, it's a freak injury. He steps on someone's foot. But
throughout the course of his career, yes, Kyrie Irving has had to deal with injuries, especially
with
in the
injuries.
Playoffs. Like, we saw it in Cleveland. We saw it in Boston. Like, that was one of the concerns before the Nets decided they were going to sign him a couple of years ago. Like, it was like, are you going to get a Kyrie Irving that's going to be able to stay healthy? Because that's going to be absolutely critical to what the Nets were trying to do.
It doesn't matter the kind of injury.
The fact is, he got hurt.
It doesn't matter the kind of injury. Like, Anthony Davis has been injury prone.
He's injury prone. Like, whether it's a freak injury or not, he gets hurt often. Kyrie Irving has been hurt often in his NBA career. Was it a freak injury? Yes. Does it shock you that Kyrie got hurt? No. We said it all year long. If they're healthy, they're the favorites. You know what? They were not healthy. They had a healthy KD, they had a hobbled Harden, and they didn't have Kyrie. So don't argue that point. It's factual.
And they may as well not have had Joe Harris after the first two games of the series.
Probably wish they didn't have. They probably wish he got hurt and someone else would have played for him because he was terrible. Dreadful.
Yeah, but he stuck with him, man. I mean, that's a. He gave up. Listen, and I get it. I mean, the rotations change in the postseason and you go to guys you trust. But even if it's just for a couple minutes, like just spell him for a couple minutes. Like, I mean, they just. Mike James, they're done. You're not even getting off the bench. Like, Jeff Green was clearly banged up, right? Like, he had the one game where he scored 27, but he was clearly banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't understand why they brought him in. When Blake Griffin fouled out, I don't know why Jeff Green was the one that came in, and all of a sudden now we're going to put KD on Giannis. What happened? I mean, Claxton was all. I don't know. Listen.
They didn't get him off the bench.
But you know, maybe it's because Jeff Green can stretch the floor a little bit, can space the floor because he can knock down perimeter shots. Maybe that might be the reason. I mean, because again, you were looking for somebody to help create some space for KD because that was the focal point of the Bucks defense. And just try to make it a little bit easier for him, try to make it a little less congested, give him more room to operate because KD was your offense.
No, but at that point, in that point of the game. Like, remember, if you go back, that was when Blake Griffin ends up fouling out. That next possession, this is when Brooklyn's up.
Yep.
That next possession is when Giannis backed KD in and
made the little hook shot.
Yeah, he made the little bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point of the game, too, KD is spent. Do I really want him guarding Giannis?
Giannis? No.
No.
No, I wouldn't think so. Let's go to D in Queens. Good morning, D. You're on 98.7.
You know, one thing to start off with, this year the best team is not going to be the champion. It's just going to be whoever's the healthiest. That's the sad part. Hello?
Yeah, well, look at these teams. Or even the teams left aren't healthy. Right?
Oh, no.
You don't have Kawhi. You don't have Chris Paul.
Well, the Bucks are healthy. The Bucks are healthy outside of DiVincenzo.
Well, that's the thing I want to get to about the Bucks. This whole concept that Adam Silver is not happy, are you sure about that? Because, like, everybody said it, too. Like, the Bucks were playing football and allowed to. I was talking to a young boy. He didn't even know what hand-checking was. Like, he was 18. He didn't even know what hand-checking was because it's been outlawed for so long. But the Bucks were allowed to play after game two a style of basketball we have not seen since the 90s. And there hasn't been a single playoff game in the entire playoffs that have been reffed the way the Bucks were allowed to play. I mean, is he really unhappy, or did he say the Nets might be bad for basketball because, you know, we're tired of super teams?
He's unhappy. He's unhappy. There's no way the NBA is happy about Kevin Durant being out of the postseason. No shot.
And think of the media markets. You could have Philly and New York, and now you have Milwaukee and Atlanta. No, he's unhappy.
Yeah.
Now, maybe, listen, now maybe you could have, you know, told the referees, like, let's try to make this series a little bit more competitive. Like, we don't need, you know, before Kyrie gets hurt, we don't need this to be a non-competitive four-game.
Yeah,
an embarrassment.
A four-game runaway.
But, no, listen, the games are, it happens all the time in the playoffs, too. It happens in hockey the same way. Is referees, they, and I don't know if it's subconscious or whatever it is, they referee games differently when for the home teams. Home teams just naturally just seem to get more calls than the away teams do. Or given the, you know, more leeway, the benefit of the doubt.
Well, it's the advantage of having home court or ice or whatever it is. You want to hear Petty Omar? Because I think that's what you're going to get. You want to hear that?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Here you go. Petty Omar, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello. Good morning. This is a good day. A great Father's Day. Brooklyn going home. Bye-bye. Now my season is a success. Now the Knicks can be happy. At least Brooklyn Nets is not winning the championship. Go home. Have a good summer. Don't give me excuses. Injuries. It's a part of the game. Hey, Carmelo Anthony went to 2013 playoffs. The whole starting lineup was injured. He has a bad shoulder. He scored 36 points. All right? So don't tell me that there is the whole team was injured. Everybody's injured. Don't give me. They are injury-prone players. They are 33 years old, 32 years old.
Omar.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I got to be honest. I heard injuries, and then I'm not exactly sure excuses. What I heard beyond that.
I heard injuries, excuses, trying to buy a championship.
Somehow, I think I heard the Oklahoma Thunder was thrown in there, maybe.
Yep. Kyrie in Boston, I heard. Like, bits and pieces.
We should have, like, a checklist. Like, I should give you a list of things. Did you hear this or not?
When Omar Everyone talked. Hates them. I heard that. Everyone hates them.
I heard a lot of excuses, injuries, the Thunder. Did you hear a Curry thrown in there, by the way?
I'm not sure about that
I did not hear a Curry.
This would be a good game, though. We have Omar on. We have, like, you know, other people call in contest. Omar goes for, like, I don't know, a minute straight.
And then we say, did you hear the word paprika?
No, we do word search, yeah. Like a word search. Whoever comes up with the most words
like
wins.
The jumble.
Yeah, oh, I love the jumble.
Oh, who doesn't love the jumble?
How can you not love the jumble? I'll tell you what. Road trips, that was one of my favorite things.
All right, fun done.
Grab the USA Today, do the crossword, little jumble. Oh, nothing better. Cup of coffee. Forget it.
How many coffees have you had this morning, by the way?
I'm on, this is three.
This is
three? I went iced. I switched to the ice now.
Now, you've just given up on sleep this week, right? Like, you understand that you're going to be without it?
Yeah. No, this is it. There's so much going on, man. I mean, this whole weekend was spent, like, watching stuff. I mean, it was a lot. Golf yesterday. Whew.
It was great for John Rahm, right?
Oh, it was awesome.
Especially after what happened to him at the Memorial.
Yeah, 6-shot lead, you get COVID, then all of a sudden come back. Only, by the way, only Spaniard to ever win the U.S. Open. How about that one?
Really?
There's a little factoid there.
Had his little baby there on Father's Day. It was awesome.
Oh, that was great.
Dude, did you see? I mean, guys were just falling apart at the end, man. Holy.
DeChambeau.
Fell apart.
44 on the back nine.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
Rory,
brutal.
Koepka. That course was, I mean, at the end. Oof.
Good for him, though.
Yeah, it's great for him. Dude, could you imagine? I mean, that's... I forget what the... I wish I knew exactly what it was. It was over $1 million. The prize money that he lost. And he had a 6-shot lead. I mean, unless he completely falls apart going into the final round, he's winning that tournament. And then the purse was like somewhere between 1.4, 1.6 million.
Yeah, that's
bucks.
A 7-figure loss. That's
crazy.
Yeah,
he loses that. And he was like... I'll give him credit, too. He was like, listen, that's the rules. Like, I mean, that's... They came out, they told me, they did a couple tests. I was COVID positive, so that, I mean, it is what it is. Bounces back. Again, if you don't believe in sports gods, you're crazy. Sports karma is real. I'm telling you right now. I don't know how you don't believe in it.
You honestly believe in sports karma?
Yes, every athlete does, Dave.
Every athlete
don't
does.
Don't interrupt, God.
Okay. The guy gets pulled out of a tournament that he has a 6-shot lead in it, and then all of a sudden, I mean, which means he's playing good golf. But still, U.S. Open, come on. You got to believe
it. That's his first major, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's great for him.
It was fun. And on Father's Day to have that with his new baby there was a great look. Let's go to Raymond in Bayonne. Good morning, Raymond. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Happy Father's Day to all of you. I love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Actually, I was, you know, my point was going to be that I think this is a great opportunity for the Nets in the off season not to get look for a bigger big man. I'm kind of surprised that DeAndre fell out of the rotation, you know, that way, especially when you're playing kind of small towards the end. I don't know if there's a way possible. I want to hear you guys. If there's a way possible, they could upgrade without spending that much money in that case. And thank you very much. I love the show, guys.
They have Nick Claxton.
Yeah.
Nick Claxton is going to be, I mean, he's going to be the guy moving forward.
Yeah, he's 21 years old. So you're hoping that he's the guy that develops into your center when you want to play with a big lineup, when you want to go with a big front court. But, I mean, in terms of adding talent to this roster, there ain't a whole lot of pathways to do it. I mean, there's only so much money to go around. And Josai, if they offer contract extensions to all the members of the Big Three, I mean, they're going to have to pay a huge number in competitive tax. Like, there's no way around that. So I just don't know how much money you're going to be able to allocate to being able to fill out the rest of your team.
He's going to spend it, though. I mean, this would be
you have to spend it now. Your team is primed to win a championship.
Yeah, and it would be, I mean, failure is an understatement if they don't win a championship.
Pablo in Beachwood. Good morning, Pablo. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's not a good morning for me, man. I'm still recovering from that loss, man. That was That was tough. But I got to say, I'm proud of my team. For everyone here that, you know, that's like the Nets, it was a failure, et cetera. I mean, the grand scheme of things, yeah, it was a failure. We're supposed to win a chip. I was a little upset. But we can't look at this like black and white the way we look at the Heatles when they lost their first finals against the Mavericks. You know, they were a team fully healthy. You know, it took Giannis to take his game to another level, and he went from Greek Freak to Zaza Pachulia and took out Kyrie's ankle. I know it wasn't on purpose, fellas. I'm just making a joke. But, you know, it took Kyrie to his ankle to get taken out and Harden on one leg. And it took a game 7 overtime with Kevin Durant basically an inch from winning it all, from his feet. Just be a little smaller, please. Just a little smaller. And we would have won that game. So I'm proud of my team. Haters are going to rejoice. That's fine. But we're going to come back next year. They're going to be even hungrier, hopefully fully healthy. Now we all know, as of right now, the way the NBA is, there's no one better than the Nets right now. So we'll see what happens in the offseason. Until then, have a good day, fellas.
All right. See you, Pablo. Thanks for the call. The thing that would get me crazy if I was a Nets fan, you led 2-0 in the series,
mm-hmm.
and Milwaukee played a horrendous game 3. I mean, just an awful game 3. And if you would have won that game 3, you would have won the series. So I get it. You went 7 overtime. Durant, great, all that stuff. But you still had golden opportunities to win this thing.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, game 3, but also game 6. I just felt like that game was there for the taking, and the Nets just didn't have the same sense of urgency that they had in game 5. I don't know whether it's just because of them being on the road or what. But, I mean, they left the door open for the Milwaukee Bucks to be able to win this series. I mean, I just feel like they pushed all of their chips into the Game 7 basket, and ultimately they came up short. I mean, fatigue ended up playing a huge factor. Kevin Durant just didn't have any more juice after what he did the previous 2 games. I mean, and it sounds crazy to say that because he dropped 48 points in Game 7. It's the first time we've seen a player be able to do that in NBA postseason history. But I just feel like Brooklyn had a few opportunities throughout the course of this series to put the Milwaukee Bucks away, but they let that team get off the mat, and now ultimately they're going to be watching them play in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, you had Game 3. I mean, that was a big one, especially with, you know, Kyrie getting hurt. And then, Chris, you mentioned Game 6. It was like they would cut it to 5, and then all of a sudden Milwaukee would answer back, and before you knew it was back to 11. Right, like they couldn't find a way to put enough, like, to get to the point where all of a sudden, you know, Milwaukee started to feel a little bit tight about it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because that's a, you got to win game. And yep. then last night too. I mean, they just, like, Milwaukee just, I mean, they just kept hitting big shots, like momentum killing shots. Like even Connaughton in the second quarter, like it felt like all of a sudden Brooklyn was getting this momentum, and then Connaughton came down and hit a 3, and the crowd went silent. Like they couldn't run away and hide.
No, nope, they certainly had their opportunities. That's for sure.
Well, I was surprised. I mean, tell me if you guys were. I mean, they're only up 6 to half. And Holiday and Middleton couldn't have been worse in the first half of the game. Holiday and Middleton were awful in the first half of that game.
Yep,
awful.
And Brooklyn was only up 6, and then before you know it, I mean, third quarter starts. Milwaukee goes on that run, and that lead is completely gone.
Immediately.
Milwaukee ends up. I think they went on a 7-0 run. They're up a point. So I was just it was difficult. Like, we watched this Brooklyn Nets team the entire season, couple quick stops, and before you knew it, you looked up and, you know, they're up 12. You know what I mean? Because that's how dynamic their offense was. With Harden on one leg, it just wasn't the same.
You had a banged up team, and you have the postseason. You know, it's very different. Let's hear from Kevin Durant. Thoughts after a very painful Game 7.
Yeah, we want to win. We want to win every game we play. We want to win a championship every year, just like every team. So the last game, the season, you lose. But the beauty of our profession is we get up and keep going. You know, everybody on this team is works extremely hard. They care about the game. So, you know, we get ready for next year.
Yeah, but these off seasons are tough. When you think you should win a championship and you don't, which doesn't happen all that often, that's a tough pill to swallow. This is tough.
No, it is a tough pill to swallow, Dave, but I will tell you one guy from the Brooklyn Nets that has nothing to hang his head about, and that's Kevin Durant. I mean, just the way that he performed in this series, what he did in Game 5 with a 50-point triple-double, and then following that up in a game seven with 48 and playing 53 minutes. It's just, I mean, what he did, it's amazing to think about it, but, you know, talk about changing the conversation around your career in a series that you lose when the expectations are so high. You just don't think that it's possible to do. But, I mean, Kevin Durant did that.
Now, RJ, again, trying to sabotage Rick, he pops into my ear and he says, do you think this affects the greatness of what Kevin Durant did in game four, that 50-point triple-double? And it's like, well, that thinking to myself, that was game five, RJ, not game four.
No, of course. He's been since that bachelor party, man. I don't know what it was. I don't know what
happened.
It was a
soccer bachelor party. I mean, they're known to be wild. Well, you see what they do in Vegas? They'll take you know, like a plant holder, and they'll run it around as if they've won a trophy. So I'm sure that was similar to RJ's bachelor party.
It was game five. You sabotaged me just there. I did not say game four. You said game four. I said game five.
You know what? You came on, you said game four, and then you corrected yourself. You're like, no, I mean game five. How dare you? Now you're going to lie?
Listen, Joe, don't get mad at me just because your people aren't, they're on West Coast time, they're sleeping, they're taking it easy.
Wow.
Something happened in that room, Dave. Something happened in that room.
That's right.
You're lashing out at me because your face
they were all circled around watching some soccer match.
That's right. Man advantage. You don't know what's happening there.
Listen.
Red cards are being handed out.
Listen, I saw Canty hanging out with Greeny over the weekend. I'm going to go hang out with them. I'm going to leave you two to do whatever it is you guys do.
How did that come about? How are you hanging out with Greeny?
Well, I told you that my future mother-in-law was in town helping my fiance do some shopping for the wedding dress. And I guess they had some success. They found the dress. And so to celebrate that moment, we all went out to dinner. I think the place was called Residora in the Flatiron District. And Greeny and his wife just happened to be walking by.
Oh, okay.
So they stopped in to hang out for a little bit.
So this was not a hey, Greeny, you want to get together and have dinner? This was you stumbled upon him in the same spot on a Saturday night.
No, it was spontaneous, Dave.
Oh, nice.
Very, very impromptu. But we had a good time.
I want to be in that room. Chris, it's nice to meet you. You guys aren't. So I'll leave you to do it.
I don't know if Chris and Greeny want you in that room.
No, RJ is always welcome. RJ is absolutely welcome.
Hey,
don't let him tell you any different, RJ.
Yeah, see, I'm totally fine just showing up places.
Once I figure out how to respond to that wedding, we're going to be in the same room, RJ.
Well, you've run out of days.
We are going to be in the same exact room because I'm going to respond to that wedding.
Just tell Nico to take care of it.
Yeah, I might. I might bring the QR code to my other guys on Wednesday and say, listen, I just respond that I'm going to be there.
I am TJ. I am Nico.
I mean, how that has 1.5 million views is beyond me, really.
Oh, there's music, there's quick edits. It's really unbelievable.
This guy spikes the baseball into the bushes and there's people dying to watch
more that, use it. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Just terrific.
And you talk all sexual to them. Ugh.
Just terrific.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.